Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, fans and followers, to Velocity Athletic Training Radio. I'm your host, Layla Smolak. Tune in, share your views on any episode. The number to call is 1-773-897-6223. It is a long-distance call. Velocity Athletic Training Radio is now on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, and Podomatic. Advertise your products and services on Velocity Athletic Training Radio. Visit me at www.advertisecast.com/613. I also want to thank Accelerated Ideas for the great library of complimentary intro music for podcasts. Check them out at www.accelerated-ideas.com/free-music-tracks. All right, today's podcast, The Role of Your Personal Trainer. I quite honestly don't think there is anything more rewarding than being a personal trainer. For well over 30 years, this has been my chosen career, and I'm certain I've mentioned this in a previous episode. My original passion was to become a criminal lawyer. And thank the great Lord, I did not pursue that career. Although my father used to encourage me so much with it. You know, it was just one of those things, right? you're dealing, I mean, imagine how much negative, or how many negative people, and of course, situations you deal with on a daily basis. No thanks, not for me. The fitness industry has expanded and redirected in so many ways. When I first started, back in the 80s, you know, it was just the simple high-low impact classes, Aquafit classes. Very little, I mean, it wasn't a huge part of that craze, per se, where, you know, we did put people on weight training programs, but it wasn't such a very important segment as it is now in this day and age. So personal training, I would say, is one of the longest surviving segments within the fitness industry. And the reason why I'm saying that is that because we did weight train people, but it really started to take off, I'd say, more in the 90s. So, you know, the term personal trainer evolved in that time frame. So the role of your personal trainer plays an important role in you, the listener, attaining optimal health and wellness. The most important step that your personal trainer can take is to obtain certification, obtain knowledge, obtain work experience. This is the sole responsibility of your personal trainer, to be certified. Okay, and of course, you can also obtain the necessary education, which is more in depth. You know, you can go to university, spend 4 years learning to understand the human body and its many, many wonders in relation to movement and physiology and all that. I took 3 years of kinesiology, and my fourth year, I'm more of the right brain type of person. When it comes to math, we do not connect. Secondly, the second most important role of your personal trainer is obviously a consultation. So this is very important in the consultation process, which, by the way, should always remain confidential, you are sharing some important information with this person. Okay, so there's a level of trust that needs to be established between yourself and this individual. The personal trainer collects valuable information from you during this consultation. This includes medical history, any medications, your nutritional requirements, both past and present history of exercise. Your personal trainer may have you complete a PAR-Q questionnaire as well. This is very important. It is actually a questionnaire that was developed through Health Canada. Just, again, it's a source of collecting information from the client. And the thing with the PAR-Q questionnaire is, you know, if you answer yes to one or more questions in terms of health issues, you do require a doctor's note. Okay, that's one of my stigmas. Your personal trainer may also conduct a physical assessment. And now this is very important, okay? The purpose is to test your strength, your flexibility, and, of course, measurement of VO2 max. So you'll be thrown onto a, well, not literally thrown on, put on a treadmill or a bike, whichever is comfortable for you. And some trainers, like I know for myself, it depends, you know, through the questionnaire, the PAR-Q, the consultation, any information that is collected. If a client does have high blood pressure, again, I ask for a medical certificate from the doctor to basically say, yes, this person may begin an exercise program. So some personal trainers may also measure your blood pressure. Okay, not all. So from your consultation and when you're ready to jump in and begin your workout, your personal trainer will begin designing a cardio program, a strength training program, and, of course, flexibility workouts geared to what your goals and as well as, you know, your results that were collected from the consultation, okay? So this is a very, very important role for this individual that you are trusting to teach you and train you. Nutritional support is another role of the personal trainer. Now, not all personal trainers have nutritional degrees or diplomas. We do cover some nutrition in the certification process, but it's not an in-depth, knowledge. So my belief is nutrition plays a major role in the success or failure of your workouts. Okay, so I have a diploma in applied nutrition. I took applied nutrition at a university in British Columbia. I studied the scientific aspect of nutrition, as well as the more holistic, natural, applications with applied nutrition. So it solidifies my credential in prescribing optimal nutrition plans to clients. So this is something to look at, or to look for in terms of service from your personal trainer. Now, the last point I want to make in terms of the role of your personal trainer is safety. This is so important, okay? The role of your personal trainer is to provide a safe and professional environment. So you don't want to be walking into whether it's a big chain facility or a small studio where there's, you know, weights on the floor and it's an opportunity for you to trip, right? As well as designing safe and effective weight training programs, as well as cardio programs and flexibility programs. Okay? So that's really important. So have a lot of confidence in your personal trainer. These are individuals who are passionate about what they do, and they are very good role models in your journey toward leading a healthy lifestyle. Now, you know, I always look at the other side of the coin. I have a habit of doing that. I like to look at both sides. There is a flip side, and I will discuss this in next week's podcast. So please tune in. And please share these podcasts. I personally think they're great, only because they're my podcasts. So, you know, tune in, share. All right, thoughts to ponder. Here it is. And again, let me remind you that I consider my family unit. This includes my husband, my sons, and we have, you know, I have two stepdaughters who we have not seen in years, who we truly miss. They are so precious. You know, my family is precious, and they're very important. So our privacy, you know, it's a sacred thing, right? Family, your family unit is sacred. Personal issues that have surfaced and have come to light, I now share publicly on social media. At this point, I quite honestly, with the threats of, you know, I get phone calls in 2014 threatening to defame me and, of course, my company, Velocity Athletic Training, you know, and from 2014 to 2017, you know what, hey, whoever, sorry, I know who you are. I found the links. Everything's been provided to me. You know, how shallow and low can someone get to be posting images of pornography on my Google page? You've been caught. I know who you are. And it's going to come. It's all going to come out. You're not protected. And I think I've mentioned this in a previous episode in relation to this issue that my husband and I are going through. First of all, let me clarify things. I have been a fitness professional for over 30 years. I'm not associated with any pornography at all. So let's clear that up right now. In October 2014, my husband and I filed an inland spousal application in Canada. We are not stupid people. Let me clarify that as well. We're not stupid. Two stupid individuals. We're quite honest, actually, and I think sometimes I think we're too honest. In October 2014, again, my husband and I filed an inland spousal application. For those of you, an inland spousal application means he is allowed to remain in Canada as long as that application is in process. We paid what we were told by a friend of this immigration consultant that he was an immigration lawyer. We were promised that a work permit would be issued within 4 months. So October, November, December, January, February. January, right? We should have had a work permit. Well, nothing. We went to the bank, paid $150 toward the work permit because this so-called, what we were told, he was an immigration lawyer when we actually found out he was only an immigration consultant. He wrote it out on a piece of paper. All the costs, which amounted to $2,949. Okay? Money spent. So, 3 years later, there's no work permit. We were told that we would need to pay an additional $355 toward the permit. When this so-called immigration lawyer finally made the time, after me repeatedly calling the office, repeatedly emailing this person, finally found time to make an appointment with me and my husband, and in that appointment tells us, oh, it's an additional $355. Well, no, you're not getting $355 because I just paid $150. So I call Immigration Canada, customer service, asking, why is this person asking for an additional $355? Do you want to know, people, what the response I got from that customer service, a government employee? That this employee tells me, I don't know. You would need to speak to the consultant. This is Canada. So, I have filed a complaint with the body which supposedly regulates these immigration consultants. Regulates. Okay, you know what? I found out after this all happened with my husband and I that this is not the first time. It's not the first time. We are not the only people. Apparently this happens all the time. It's been all over the news. People being separated because they've been scammed by an immigration consultant. He's now under investigation, by the way. What will the outcome be? Who knows? All I know is that my husband and I, again, are not the only two who have been scammed by this individual. He scammed another out of $50,000. Dear God, how in the hell do you scam someone out of 50 grand? When does this stop? When will our government stop enabling these people, these immigration consultants, when in the end families get torn apart? That's the result. When does it stop? Here I am emailing our prime minister. Bring my husband back. Lift the ban. This is not our fault. I should sing O Canada, right? You know, some people might be thinking, boy, Layla's pissed off. Does it sound like I'm pissed off? I'll tell you what I am. I am embarrassed to even say I am Canadian. This is exactly what I said to the Border Patrol on Friday, January 6th at their Vancouver office when finally someone met with me. I sat in that office all day long waiting to speak to somebody, trying to find out, where is my husband? Where have you put him? Apparently, he had rights to a hearing. Well, there was no hearing. Finally, 4 p.m. rolls around. Someone comes, sits me in an office, apologizing, telling me, you two are too honest. You're so honest. You've been scammed. It's not the first time this individual has scammed someone. Really? How are you going to stop it? When are you going to stop it? Because now my husband has to go back to the United States of America. And by the way, I will be discussing God Bless America in this episode. But when does it stop? Excuse me. I told this officer, I said, you want to know something? I'm embarrassed to say that I am Canadian. I'm embarrassed. If you are treating people like this, innocent people that took every initiative to ensure that we do not have to go through this, and you're telling me it happens on a daily basis, get your damn heads together, all of you. Oh, Canada. the story does not end here. Let's take a look at God Bless America. Let's take a look at a small town courthouse located in Pennsylvania. In 2013, again, let me repeat, I am not stupid, neither is my husband. In 2013, I mailed out. We knew. Oh, there was an incident in 1990. My husband was 19 years old. It happened. Big deal. Don't, you know what? Who cares? Right? So, in 2013, I mailed out a money order. I called this courthouse. I specifically said to them, we require these documents. An incident that transpired in 1990, I need those records. The little clerk tells me, okay, $9.25 U.S. We'll get you those documents. Well, I go to the bank. I get a money order in the amount of $9.25. I mail it out. We waited. No documents. Once again, I contact the courthouse in 2014 requesting the very same documents. This time around, the clerk asks me for a $10 U.S. money order. That's what it's going to cost me to get those documents. Okay, no problem. So I head to the bank, get the money order. I mail it out. We waited. Nothing arrived. Nothing arrived. Because if those documents would have arrived at my address, they would have been handed over immediately to Immigration Canada. Again, let me say, we knew how important these documents were for our Inland Spousal application. They would have been handed over to Immigration Canada in a flash, and my husband would still be in Canada. Now, I'm going to go back to February 2014. My husband sent an email to an individual, he just asked a simple question. From the answer to that question came threats, accusations, and verbal written abuse from the other end, from this individual, which, by the way, came from this major corporation's email. Okay? This person works within their legal department, apparently. Big shot contract negotiator, has access to lawyers, has access to judges. And now I recently find out that the corporation works closely with politicians and government. This corporation has been in business for years, and they've got this little mouse running around. Big shot, white collar. Okay, those threats about defaming Velocity Athletic Training and defaming my character came from there. Okay, here it is, the twist to white collar crime. From 2014 to 2017, my husband and I waited for documents to arrive from this courthouse. Supposedly, they mailed them out in 2014. Not. And supposedly, the courthouse never received the 2013 money order I sent out to them, along with the letter. Guess what, people? You know, I mentioned it earlier, I was going to be a lawyer, right? I never became a lawyer because of this. I saw it in the courthouse, okay? I saw it. Now, I also work for a major bank. And unfortunately for these white-collar criminals, I took receipts that I still have. See, you white-collar criminals don't know what I have. You don't know what information I have. They were taken to the bank. And I was told they were cashed. You received them. The bank, the courthouse received both money orders. Both money orders have cleared through the Canadian system. No documents were ever mailed out. Poor clerk tells me in an email that they received the second money order and the documents were mailed out. Really? I don't think so. No. Because, again, let me say it, those documents would have been handed over to Immigration Canada within a flash. I didn't want my husband to be deported. We're not stupid. I'll tell you what happened to those documents. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. Those documents were withheld because the little mouse that's running around and the little connections, the judges, the lawyers, no, have a good knowledge about the immigration system in Canada. And no, as long as documents do not come into Canada for this specific inland spousal application, my husband will be deemed inadmissible to Canada. Therefore, Canada Border Patrol comes to my home. Therefore, handcuff, frisk, and throw my husband into YVR detention. Okay? That's why those documents were never released, because the white-collar criminals had those documents withheld. They were withheld for 3 years until 2017. After my husband got deported, I contacted the courthouse a third time, asking, where are the documents? This is my third time asking you where the documents are. Guess what? I received those documents within a month. 1 month. Stamped, certified to be true documents from this courthouse in Pennsylvania. I will continue and I will not stop until the person who emailed the threats is investigated along with this corporation they're employed at. Because if they do this, what else are they doing? And by the will, and I'm sorry, I'm going to go into my preaching, and by the will of the mighty name of Jesus Christ and with the blood of Jesus, I'm going to ensure this person will be handcuffed, frisked, and thrown into jail for public corruption. Public corruption, people, which, for your information, is considered a crime by the FBI. I am Layla Smolak, host of Velocity Athletic Training Radio and proud owner of Velocity Athletic Training Studio. Visit me at www.velocityathletictraining.com. I am now over and I am out. Enjoy the rest of your day and God bless America and God bless Canada.